This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Sad Beam.
Yeah, we've got a lot of sadness around here. And obviously, you know the result we're going to talk about. With the champions, the CONCACAF Champions Cup, whatever. You know what I've always said to me about that tournament? Meaningless. Never really mattered. Probably an insignificant tournament we shouldn't even care about.
I agree.
It's such that
and Leagues Cup, it's the same thing. Who cares? Who gives a flip about it?
Don't put all your eggs in that basket, I've said. I think, yeah.
We've known haters of that tournament
known haters.
On the pod.
We've talked about how much it's just kind of a Mickey Mouse tournament, I believe is the word we used. Yep. Many a time. So, of course, we're going to talk about that. We will talk about disappointment for two black and gold teams as Champions League. You had Real Madrid hoisting their trophy, so we'll get into that a little bit later. But of course, you know, Beam, we're going to start off with the crew. So how did you end up watching this game? What did you end up doing? Like, where did the evening go for you on Saturday?
So I'll take you to Friday before we get to Saturday. So Friday, Meredith and I, you know, we're kind of chatting. We're like, well, what do we want to do for the crew game tomorrow? So I texted neighbor Eric. I'm like, hey, what are you guys doing? And he was like, hey, we're going to get together with some friends and we're going to go down to Studio 35. Cause that's usually we like to go there on Friday nights anyways, just to get like a beverage, us and the, you know, 70-year-old people who we call them the popcorn brigade. Like they watch William for like a half hour and Meredith and I just chat and kind of catch up on the week, which is nice.
That's great.
So I'm talking to Mayor. She goes, I think I'd like to go to studio tomorrow. I'm like, all right, that sounds good. We'll go there. Get to Friday evening. I'm like checking around for babysitters and like our babysitter's out. She's got to do something. And okay, that's not going to work. Mayor's mom is in wherever she's in Michigan where we're going there next week. So she's like getting the cottage ready and everything, open it up for the season. So I'm like, oh, that's out. That's no good. We had just gone out Wednesday night the week that's actually just this last week to go see Motion City Soundtrack at the Bluestone. So I'm like, well, what about the lady who babysitted William that night? Can she come back? She's like, no, I already asked her. She's got something going on.
Babysat? I don't know.
Babysitted?
Well, whatever.
She was the babysitter for
babysitter
William.
Who babysat.
Babysat sounds weird. Anyways, yeah. So she was out. So like we've turned through like three or four different things. And then I had texted my dad. And I'm like, hey, I know you guys are down here. Not sure what you guys got going on Saturday night. Would you want to watch William while Mayor and I go down to studio? And he texts me back. He's like, yeah, we got nothing going on. I'm like, okay, cool. That sounds great. In the meantime, I was texting Eric because he's got an awesome like sunroom that they built a couple of years ago. And he's got a TV out there. And we watched the Montreal game with him a couple of weeks ago. And I'm like, Eric, I'm having trouble finding, because he was like, what are you going to do for the game tomorrow? What are you going to do? And I'm like, I don't know yet. Like, we'll figure it out. And so we knew that they were going to go down to studio. And he was like, what are you guys doing? I said, well, I think we're going to go down there for you, but we don't have a babysitter. I'm like, if we can't find one, I don't want to watch and be like screaming at our house. Can I watch the game in your sunroom, even though that you won't be there?
Right.
And he was like, yeah, like, you're free to come party in my sunroom. Do whatever you guys want to do.
He would be gone. You're going to go over to his house next door and be alone there so that when you yell, it won't wake up your child at home.
Yes.
I totally relate to this.
Yeah.
I love this idea.
So it was going to be me and Meredith and our buddy Mike.
Okay.
Who was going to do that. And then maybe my dad and my stepmom. But again, like since they were coming down, it's like we were going to go somewhere else. So we finally get to Saturday. We hang out with my dad and my stepmom. They're good for babysitting. We're like, we're going to go to studio. We had dinner at Cuco's. It was lovely. We come home about 7:30, 7:45. We put William to bed. So we're like, hey, this is how the monitor works. If he wakes up, put a pacifier back in. If you smell crap, change his diaper. I'm like, he should be sleeping.
Pretty simple, yeah.
That whole time. Like, he shouldn't be anything crazy. Get ready about 8 o'clock. Go down to studio. I mean, we live right off of Indianola, so, like, we just drive down there. It's a neighborhood bar slash cinema.
Right.
And we drive past it, and the line is out the door, like, down, like, two shops.
Wow. To get into
the front doors.
My gosh.
So I look at Meredith. I'm like, what do you want to do? She goes, well, take a lap around the block, see if you can find a parking space. Like, we'll walk in, assess the situation. Like, maybe everybody's in the bar area, not, like, the movie theater yet. I'm like, all right. Can't find a parking space. We can't find a parking space. Even like in the neighborhood. I'm like, nope, not going to do that. So we ended up going to City Tavern, which is where we watch United games, because I knew that GCG Bag was going to be there, one of like the crew supporters groups and everything. So we walk in there. Mike meets us down there like in the parking lot. Parking lot was full at City Tavern. That's a huge parking lot,
too.
So I parked on the street, like right in front of the bar. That was no big deal. Walk in. It was like walking into like Valhalla. Three bar seats opened up right in the corner of the bar walked in. We literally just walked straight in the door, sat down, and that's what we ended up doing. So we were at City Tavern watching the game.
Yeah, it had like a long winding road to get to where like a place you usually end up for most of your soccer watching anyway, but there it was.
Because we didn't want to go back home.
Yeah. We did actually, so I took the oldest two out. We went to a brewery in Marysville called Walking Distance, which opened up a few years ago, and they are a very cool bar, very chill, but they have TVs. They have three or four big screens in there. It's not a huge area. Like you can get probably like 40, 50 people worth thinking there. But the nice thing is right across the street, they have a pizza place. You can just pick up food and bring it in. They don't care.
Where's that in relation to like Leon's? Cause I love that place.
Oh, it's not next to Leon's at all. It's like, it's on the south side of Marysville's downtown area. Okay. They call it Walking Distance because if you park for the downtown stuff or the uptown Marysville stuff, you could walk to it. It's a few blocks away. There's a if you go look, there's like a Family Dollar or something that's right across the street from it. That would be the best way to tell you.
Got it.
It's not far from our hospital, but whatever. Anyway, so went there, met up with my neighbors who live around the corner, neighbors Jason, Vanessa, and their daughter Grace. They are season ticket holder crew fans. Became season ticket holders the last couple of years, and they go to every game now.
Yeah.
They're like all in. So they went there. Then we ended up and this was the thing. I kind of the same thing you probably experienced. We walk in there, and it was not just, we thought it might be us and like a few other people.
It was packed.
It was packed, and it was black and gold, and it was there for a reason. Like people knew this bar because they do show crew games. So this was a good little spot where people had gone. We actually ran into friends of ours that we did not know were coming who were also just there because they're like, yeah, we're crew fans. And I was like, sick. I had no idea that, like, so I'm figuring like we got to get a Marysville supporters group going or something, get some t-shirts made or whatever. We have to capitalize on this little bit of fun that we had. We have to instantly turn it into a monetized thing.
Of course. America, baby.
Yeah. So that's how we watched. And then of course the game started, and I don't know about you. I instantly am like watching this after a few minutes. They got that first chance, like 15 seconds in.
Yep.
And then after that, I said, we don't look right.
I could pinpoint it. I had a moment because we love Darlington Nagby on this show.
Yes.
I think it was his second pass of the game. Mm-hmm. It was just off. And I'm I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's the nerves. Probably not with that guy. Like he's played in a lot of cup finals. He's played a lot of important games. And his pass was off. And I've had the thought to myself, like, this looks wonky.
Something wasn't right. Yeah. Yeah, I was with you that when I saw Darlington look a little bit shaky, I thought, that's not usual. That's not good. I had no inkling that there was illness or anything at play. I just thought, this could be a long night for us if Darlington Nagby is not like rock solid. You take him for granted. You just think like, Darlington's going to have a great game. Aiden Morris is going to have a great game. That's not even going to be a question. And then, you're going
to
need.
That's up to the finishing.
Cucho's going to obviously have to, he'll be everywhere, but he needs to actually put it together, right? You need the back line to do their thing and not give up more than a goal. Like, I would have taken a goal on the road there, I get it. But more than that is tough to overcome. Mm-hmm. So you give up the goal, 20 minutes, 15 minutes in, something like that?
Yeah.
And I got like, uh-oh, this is not good.
Yeah.
And then they gave up.
But at that point, it was also the same feeling that I had against Tigres and then Monterrey.
That's right. I was like, yeah, we've done this before. I wasn't nervous in that sense. I was just
then they put in the second one. They VAR'd it, which should have been a red card.
Yeah,
like it should have been a red card for us. Ends up being a foul, calling the goal back for them.
I could not believe that we got like
second life.
We got the opposite of a CONCACAF, basically. On that, we got pro CONCACAF.
They got CONCACAF.
They got CONCACAF. Yeah. So I was like, I can't believe. I mean, they basically it was like the VAR basically said, we know this team doesn't have it tonight, but we cannot have this be like 5-0. We need people to watch this game, so we need to take this one off the board.
Yeah.
I mean, it was no, but again, the crew looked out of sorts. They were not in good positions. They were making, defensively, they were just
all over the place.
Well, it's not even, I don't mean to put it on the back line. the midfield had no resistance to whatever they wanted to do. Pachuca had everything they wanted in the midfield, which then, of course, meant they were getting balls in good spots, and the defense is, like, trying to fix that. But, of course, that puts them out of position, and then Schulte still made quite a few saves, but he had at least one that you'd say, oof, you want that back.
Well, yeah, for sure, and I noticed it too. Like, the Crew were controlling the ball. They weren't doing anything when they had ball control.
Yeah.
But also, when Pachuca had the ball, it was like, we're going to do anything we want with it, any place and time, get the ball up, move it back, whatever, dangerous opportunity. Like, I mean, anytime they got the ball, it was just whoosh.
Yeah, they got the ball wherever they wanted to. And then could they finish it or not was a different question, but they were getting it into the spots they wanted to. The Crew had to, like, work super hard just to get the ball anywhere close to the areas where they wanted to do their damage. And that looked like a bad result. That looked like a bad, you know, signal there. So then anyway, you get to the point where, I mean, I don't know. Do we have to go through the rest of the game? We all know how it went. Awful.
Bad.
Yeah. So then.
Got smoked.
You got smoked.
They were the better team by a mile and a half.
We got to, like, in a weird way, we were talking about this at our, where we were hanging out at walking distance. We're all kind of at the point where we're like, just score a goal. You know, just get a goal so it at least feels like we were in this a little bit. Put something on the board so we can at least feel something and hope that maybe we can salvage this a bit. I don't know. But that's an awful place to be, where you're basically like, I know we're not winning this game, but can we at least just have some, like, save some face?
Yeah.
So, in a weird way, I think it was better to lose that way than to lose, like, 2-2, and then someone breaks your heart in the 119th minute, because you're, like,
it always goes back to that debate, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're prepared for it. We were, like, I mean, fully by the, like, the 60th minute, we were like, this is done. This is over. We have no chance
in
this game.
Ron Jones kicking our ass.
Yeah, we're getting smoked here. So, game ends, and I even thought watching the game, this was a, like, casual, just in my head thought. I didn't verbalize it or wasn't, like, openly like, oh my gosh, something's wrong. But, like, I even noticed Wilfried Nancy, it just seemed like he was sitting on the bench a lot. Yeah, wasn't, like, standing up, vocal, didn't see him.
He didn't look weathered. Disgusted.
He looked, yeah.
But he looked like he was pretty unimpressed.
He looked weathered. He almost, to me, looked like he looked exhausted. And I was like, why does he look like... I mean, I know it's warm there, but it's not like, and I know the altitude's a thing, but it's, they even said it was like in the 70s. It wasn't like 95 crazy, with 90% humidity or something. I just thought everybody looked off and weird and wasn't sure, but I just figured, okay, we just weren't ready for this game. And this is, you know, I was ready to hammer, you know, him and you know, what is Cucho doing and why was nobody ready to play this game? It's just, they looked awful. So then after the game, you find out, I mean, I think before, maybe right after we got home, I think I saw on Twitter.
I mean, it was like at like midnight.
Yeah.
1 a.m. It was late.
Well, whenever the post game was, where Nancy basically had his comments where he said, you know, the team was sick. That's where I kind of then it all like suddenly clicked a little bit together for me of like, okay, this is not, I think there's a difference between excuses and descriptive context.
Yeah.
You know, like if you ask the same kid time after time after time after time, it doesn't get their homework done at school. Why aren't you getting your homework done? And every different time he's like, the dog ate it. Oh, well, my parents didn't tell me I had to do it. I don't have any pencils. At some point,
calculator was out of batteries.
That kid needs help, clearly. You need to figure out what's going on there. But it's not those little excuses. There's a bigger issue going on, right? But that's someone who is having time after time after time failure in a moment where they need to do a certain thing. For the Crew, they have largely been able to perform in this environment in Mexico on the road. Obviously, we talked about how Pachuca presents a different challenge entirely with the 8,000 feet of elevation, but they've proven they can get it done in cup finals. They've proven they can get it done on the road in Mexico. So when you see something that's this out of line with how they've usually played, is it an excuse to say that or is it proper context? For me, it's proper context to say, yeah, the team was not functioning at a high, like they physically were not able to perform it the way that they would have been possibly capable of. Pachuca still could have smoked 3-0.
Of course.
The altitude could have got them. They still could have had a million chances the Crew could have generated that they just couldn't finish because of pressure and
they still did.
Timing, I mean, and everything
the crew
else.
Did have their they did have
they got some chances. You're right. They didn't finish them. Yeah. But at the end of the day, this is a shell of what this team usually looks like.
Yeah, so I'm in agreement with you. When I first saw it, like on that Friday night, early into Saturday morning, I was like, I hate it. You went down there, you got smoked. And then I woke up on Sunday, and I'm like, okay, that actually makes sense with the way that they played. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to contextualize it. And then to your point, like, we've seen it in cup finals. We've seen it before. You saw it in Monterey. You saw it against Tigres. Like, you saw it all the way leading up. Like, this team, we know what they have. And that would explain a lot why they're all off. And I do give Wilfried Nancy a lot of credit, too, because he's like, I want to take nothing away from Pachuca. Like, they were the better team tonight. I just want to give you context like that. I'm proud of our guys and the way that they battled, because they did. They did. And yeah. So I woke up on Sunday. I wasn't feeling great about the situation. And then kind of the more that I thought about it throughout the day, I'm like, it was already hard enough. Like, we could have been doing the show without, you know, the sickness. Like, and then it would have been a different show entirely of just like laying an egg. But now it's just almost like, man, if that wouldn't have happened, what would have happened?
Well, right. And I even think that's different than when people say, well, our star player was injured or missing for that game. Yeah. It's like, sure, I get it. But that's also just the nature of sports. Next man up.
Yeah.
You're literally talking about, from what we heard, I mean, 60% of the team, the entire coaching staff, like, people vomiting on the sidelines, people vomiting in the locker room before this game. That is something that's, if they take health and nutrition so seriously, you saw all the preparation they were doing for altitude. So the fact that this happened, there's no way it didn't throw off the bodies of these elite athletes to be able to perform in a way. I'm sure they did their absolute best. I'm sure they pushed themselves to the max. Yeah. But yet everything else working against you anyway with a probably a superior team in Pachuca and roster, not to say how they actually play when you put them
together.
But from a roster standpoint, I mean, they have more expensive players. They have a better academy. They're the best academy probably on the entire continent, you know, North and Central America. So yeah, I mean, you had all that going against you to begin with. Then you factor in this, that's just a recipe for disaster. So if you didn't see the Dispatch article that came out yesterday, Brianna McKay did a great job getting some really good insights there from Tim Bezpachenko, who, by the way, flew in just on Saturday, which, from what I understand, that's what the crew wanted to do. They wanted to fly in Saturday, fly out Saturday. But CONCACAF rules prevent you from doing that.
Because you got to do media obligations like the day before, don't you?
Yeah. So they had to be there 48 hours before, which is fine. I don't think there's any problem with that. But then that appears where this issue came from is they had a meal at the hotel. Now, I have heard conflicting things because there was, in the report on the Dispatch, it seemed like they were saying that the crew people worked with the staff at the hotel to prepare this meal. I've also heard the crew had their chefs there, just like they did when they went to, you know, Monterey two different times to play those games against Tigres and Monterey. But apparently whatever happened, they literally think it was like an undercooked piece of meat. Because one thing I have heard is that I don't believe any of the people who are vegetarian on the team came down with an illness.
Okay.
Usually when you travel, if you get an illness that's foodborne, a lot of times it's vegetables that are not cooked, get washed in the water locally, tap water. They weren't doing that. They cleaned those vegetables. They did everything they're supposed to with bottled water to try to avoid that. They know. That's the thing I hated when it came out. It's like, man, the Haslams and the crew, how do they not prepare for this? And it's like, well, one, I don't like the Haslams any more than the next guy. But they did do this twice before and have no issues.
Yeah.
So something clearly happened that was, it had to be related to the way the meat was cooked. Not necessarily that it was,
not even the cooking process. I mean, it could have been just a bad piece of meat.
Could have been anything like that. You're exactly right. So it seems like that's where the culprit was. And it just sucks because, you know, to get back to this stage, all the hard work it took to get here in the first place, now you got to do it again. and to have this opportunity slip through your hands when it wasn't like, man, that feels different than they played their guts out. And at the end, it was one bad pass or one bad play. This was like they didn't even get to show up and show what they could possibly do. So that's the part that I hate about it.
It's almost, I don't know.
I guess you're right, because if it was 2-2 and you lose on a fluky play, then everyone would say they belong. They easily could have won this. They were right there. This one,
almost more of a bummer because he didn't even, like, all the buildup for a month.
Yeah.
You know, or however long it's been since that second leg against Monterey. I think it was a month, right? Wasn't it like the first weekend in May? When that happened, midweek in May, or maybe it was the first one.
It was like a month away, and then they had it.
The fact that that's all we have been talking about for the last month, and then your team doesn't even get to show up like that. I feel awful for them.
Yeah,
that they didn't even get to do.
No, I agree with you. I also feel awful for I'm always thinking about the casual crew fans that are coming into the mix. And the good news is you've had so many people come in the last few years and go from casuals to like hardcore fans. Mm-hmm. It's really great to see that. So now I know this is not the same number that it used to be of casuals who don't pay attention to this stuff. But for the casuals who, there were a lot of people I had that were just like, hey, I don't know much about the Crew, but I'm excited. We went to a garden store in Marysville on Saturday, and like there was another person there. As soon as we walked in, she had Crew gear on.
Yeah.
Walking around a little bit more, saw another person with Crew gear on. I didn't recognize these people. I live in Marysville. I'm a Crew fan. I'd not seen these people. And I'm like, wow, they're like
industry plants.
People were, that's right. People were just ready for this game. I think people understood like how big it was. Yeah. And then to have that showing. And then for 2 hours, the narrative during the game is, welp, they don't belong.
Yeah.
Clearly, Nancy's system doesn't work. Clearly, the Crew were above their depth here.
Burn it to the ground.
Well, it just the national soccer media of, yeah, this is what happens when you try to take an MLS roster on the road in Mexico. It doesn't work. And it's like, but it did. They did do it before. What happened? And then we find out there may be a reasonable explanation as to what happened. I can't believe, and I find this shocking, your guy, Prez Bez, Tim Bezbachenko, in the Dispatch said, I can't rule out subterfuge.
Yeah.
Like, I can't rule it out.
I love that from Bez, though.
I agree.
That's his job.
Now, he's not saying that's 100% what happened or anything. He's saying, I just can't rule it out because I guess we have no way to know for sure that someone didn't try to do that. They did mention there are two hotels in Pachuca that teams usually stay in. There's the best one and then the next best one. Pachuca picked the best one, of course, because they're the home team, I guess. And so they stayed at the next best one. They also pointed out that quite a few other people in the hotel did not get sick from eating similar food that was there. So
again, I wouldn't rule it out, but
But the reality is this. It's probably bad luck coupled with you got run over by a team that is just absolutely brilliant.
I think we were poisoned.
Poison. Well, my mind is poisoned. I'll tell you that. Yeah. It's been poisoned against believing that anything can ever go right when you go to CONCACAF for a Big Ten final. Yeah, that's exactly it. Me and RFK Jr. got the brainworms eating our cerebellum or whatever it is.
Yeah, if I'm Bez, I'm going, even if it's sore loser, and again, I'm not Bez, and I'm not in that position, and this is probably why, I'd go full on, we're protesting this game, we need a replay, we need to play it here in Columbus. I would do that.
I'm with you.
I'm not Bez.
I know.
And that's as chesty as you're going to hear him saying, I'm not going to rule out subterfuge.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
that's him saying.
That's as scorched earth as you are going to ever hear him go.
He's saying we got screwed by something out of our control, yeah. And I don't know what more we could do there. Yeah. It just all around sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse tournament, though, so.
Yeah, you know what? Never mind. We don't care
about
it. So
is the FIFA Club World Cup.
Uh-huh. Yeah, who cares?
Not me.
You know, there's still an outside chance, right, that they could get in?
Don't start it.
I'm not even going to. Yeah.
There's no, I mean.
I know. There's no way they're picking them.
That they're ever going to pick us.
I know.
Because the last qualifier will be whatever Messi does.
I agree with you.
If they win Leagues Cup.
Yeah, they'll let,
it's going to be like, hey, the Leagues Cup winner is going to be our last representative of the federation. If they win MLS Cup, it's going to be, MLS Cup is the last representative of our federation. If they win Supporter Shield, it's going to be Supporter Shield.
Yeah.
Like what most Ballon d'Ors in MLS. Inter Miami. Like they've got that other team. It's whatever is the criteria to get them in. That is what it's going to be.
I would like it if MLS just flat out just shamelessly said, we're seeing the playoffs based on how many Ballon d'Ors you have. And then we'll go off league results. It's like, oh, Inter Miami, they have the most Ballon d'Ors on their team because they're the only team that has a Ballon d'Or winner on it.
With like seven.
Seven. And then, all right, now we'll go to the rest of the league standings. But again, Inter Miami may not need that because they're already top of the league or right up there.
Yeah.
So maybe they don't need it. That's depressing. All right.
And too, by the way, like if FC Cincinnati wins Supporter Shield again, and Miami comes second, it'll be like, well, you guys, we're going the next best team off of
you guys over the last two years. Exactly right. God. Exactly. Yep. You're right.
You guys won it last year, so really, they're regular season champions.
Oh, my God. They'll find a way, won't they?
Of course.
Why
wouldn't they? Has history told you any other perspective?
Yeah. That's how it's going to go. I'm bummed.
How much are you looking forward to the transfer window in July now?
I don't even want to think about it.
I know.
I don't even want to think about it. We got international tournaments. We got Olympics. We got Leagues Cup. We got a bunch of stuff that means our Crew team is going to be various parts of the world and or possibly transferred out, and we have no knowledge of what or who's happening. Hopefully some transfers in are happening too, but the opportunity was there. It's gone. Now you tried out for American Idol and you were in the final group to go to like to get the ticket.
You didn't get to go to Hollywood.
And then you have to go back to like Topeka, Kansas. Yeah. You know, you're just like, oh, I got to go back to MLS now.
I go to Paducah, Kentucky.
Yeah. I'm sure they're lovely places. All right.
I guess.
We'll take a break. We come back. We have a new champion in Europe.
It's the same champion.
And that champion is getting another champion, and it's going to be champions on champions. We'll discuss it. It's Bone and Beam United.
I've just seen the most insane goal I have ever seen.
Now back to Bone and Beam United.
As always, you can tweet the program at Bone Beam United. So the news that was the worst kept secret, not even a secret, it's all been made official.
We've been talking about official? It, I feel like, for a year. More than that.
I saw our guy, is it Fabrizio Romano, who is the big-time soccer?
Here we go!
Here we go, yep. He loves to tweet that. So I saw that last weekend where it was, it's all official, here we go. Kylian Mbappe officially to Real Madrid, which we all knew was happening. This on the heels of them winning Champions League and that game Beam out of, if anybody who didn't watch it, I know you did.
Yeah.
Here's how it went. Borussia Dortmund played out of their minds
for 45 minutes.
Yeah. They hit the post multiple times. They were everywhere. They were doing everything. They looked like they could pull this off. Real Madrid basically sleptwalked through probably 50 minutes of that game and then turned it on for about 20 minutes and utterly decimated Borussia Dortmund with pretty much almost out of nothing stuff. Like, it wasn't even like they controlled the buildup for 20 minutes before they got a goal. No, they just said, it's go time.
Turn it on.
We're Real Madrid now, and we're just going to go play. And they went ballistic. And, of course, I mean, you're getting tremendous goals.
When you get a goal from Dani Carvajal, whose last Champions League goal for Real Madrid was 8 years ago. That's when you know you're smoking.
One of the smallest guys on the team.
Header.
Right. Not even just scored a goal. Scores a header. And you're like, okay, well, that one, what are you going to do if that's the, if that's one of the goals they're getting? You know what else they're getting, right?
Yeah. Well, and it stunk too because Dortmund brought on Marco Reus.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, here we go. This is going to be it. And like, 2 minutes after he gets brought on, like they have that, they score that goal.
It was a bad deal.
And then I felt
deal.
So bad for him too, because like Dortmund's trying to get it out of their own end, and they're passing around and passing out of the back, and Royce flips it back to, you know, one of their wing backs, and then goes right across the middle of the field, pinpoints it. Dortmund player does to Jude Bellingham's right foot, who like looks around and says, "What, ball's with me?"
Yeah.
In space, Champions League final, I'm going to lay this off to Vinny, and Vinny's just going to do what he does.
Dude.
And then, I mean, game was over from that point.
Vinicius Jr. just, in that, like, that goal was just, it's everything that he is. That's what he is. That's how good he is. You just give him an opportunity to, like, put the stake through your heart.
And he does.
He's not going to miss. And it's just, nothing you could do with that one. Everything you could throw at him had been thrown, and Real Madrid was just like, are you done now? And then just went to town.
Well, you knew it too in the first half, like when Dortmund weren't finishing these opportunities.
Oh, God,
you're like, you're going to rue that.
Yeah, you have to put at least one or two of these in, because Madrid's getting two at least.
Yeah.
It felt like in that game. And
you didn't feel like it in the game.
But you knew before the game going in, it's like, they're probably going to get a couple goals here. That's just how they do. And they're not going to sit back and absorb forever. And Atletico Madrid, they're not. You know, they're not that type of team. They are not trying to like grind one of these out. They are trying to decimate you. And they are going to fly forward. And yeah, so now you have Real Madrid, the best team in Europe.
Six in the last 11 years.
God. Hey, you know what? I mean, at least it's technically not Saudi money. It's not like oil money that's just come in and done it. Real Madrid is like old school good.
Yeah.
Where they've been like, we've been elite just, since the 60s.
Yeah, they're just,
the 50s.
They are what they are.
Right.
They're the king's club.
They've built this machine. So in a weird way, I kind of don't feel bad rooting for them, because it's like, no, they didn't just buy this with new money. They've had the money. They're just They're just doing what they always do.
This is always what they've done.
Yeah, if you like the influx of money into soccer, if you dislike that, I agree with you. But also, I don't blame them for it because they're just like, well, whatever, we're Real Madrid. We just, I mean, literally, did you see the video where they brought the Champions League trophy back?
Yeah.
And their chairman takes it off the pedestal and he walks it into their, because they've got this huge area where they've got all the, in their museum where they've got all their Champions League trophies. And they have a space in this, I mean, it's a wall.
It's a
with a cutout for the trophies they have.
Yeah.
And they have a space already dedicated, like, and now we'll put this one in that
space. Right in the middle.
And it's like, I just wonder, when do they call the contractor to be like, hey, so now that space is full again? So we're going to need to knock out another wall, and we're going to need to tastefully expand this so that it doesn't look like we've expanded it, but knowing full well we've damn well expanded it for, like, three or more trophies here because – we just signed up Kylian Mbappe, and we're planning on doing this again.
There looked to be plenty of room in that wall when Florentino Perez was walking there. The
14
best part,
champions? 15?
15.
15. That was 15. That was 15. Sorry, it was 14. 15. Now it's 15.
So the best part,
good God,
is like when we got through that, I mean, Jude Bellingham's an alien. Given that nobody believed in me, it's like, buddy, yes, I did.
What
all
are you
right?
talking
like,
about?
You
no
were,
one believes
not, you
in
were
you.
18 years old at Dortmund, like one of the best players in the world. Like now you're signing for Real Madrid. Like
God,
right.
I didn't realize the SEC had gone everywhere. The SEC coaches have gone worldwide
like,
with this.
Let's calm the brakes on the sob story, okay? You're one of the best players on track to be like all-time guy. And the next day, I think it was Monday, because Sunday they spent celebrating, and I think it was either on Monday or I think it was Monday that it was announced. It was just the way that they announced Kylian Mbappe too was just remarkable. Did you see that?
I did not see the announcement.
And so like, you know, if your team signs a big player, like I remember when Paul Pogba came back to like Manchester United, they make like a big video. He goes, Pogba is red, you know, and like all this stuff is like a big release video and like hype trailer. And I can only speak for the Manchester United players, but like Alexis Sanchez came in and he was like playing the piano and it was a very stupid release video. Real Madrid, their tweet out of their like official Twitter account just said, statement, we have signed Kylian Mbappe. That was it. Yeah.
You know what? That is so much like the Michael Jordan facts where he's just like, I'm back. Two words. Yeah. It's like, what else do you need to say?
A statement. We've signed Kylian Mbappe.
Well, you know what it is? Like people will say that like, oh, this was a statement victory or this was a statement signing or this is a big important. It's like literally just Real Madrid releasing that statement with that sentence is all you need.
Yeah.
You don't need all the hype. You don't need fireworks. You don't need anything else. It's Real Madrid getting Kylian Mbappe, one of the best players in the world, going to the best team in the world. No questions asked. Done. Sorry, Manchester City fans. Maybe next time. Couldn't beat Manchester United in a cup final.
Yeah.
Final.
What
makes
you think
there?
You're going to do? And Real Madrid beat in the knockout round.
Yeah, it was not even. Yeah. Come on. What are we talking about? All right. So congrats to the champs, Real Madrid. Mm-hmm. My guys.
And Pachuca.
No, not my guys.
Mickey Mouse tournament.
Yeah. Right. Crew got to focus on League's Cup now. I did see a few people that were like, I hope we get Pachuca in League's Cup. I don't want any part of that whole stupid thing.
I hope we opt out of it. I don't want to play.
I hope our guys get dysentery again and don't play and get knocked out by like St. Louis or something.
Settle on the Oregon Trail.
Yeah, and then everybody gets a month off to recuperate. They get to meet whoever. I hope we're getting some new guys in that are going to help.
Yeah.
I hope we have a nice farewell party for Cucho when he leaves because I feel like that's happening.
I had to play Marco Royce at L.A. and paying $350,000 to Charlotte for the discovery fee on Marco Royce. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Hey, you know what, though? Charlotte, kudos to Charlotte. Everybody's bagging on him for that. It's like,
oh, good for them.
You know what? You got Inter Miami sitting there over there going, I think we're going to pay Jordi Alba $35,000, whatever the hell they're saying. And it's like, there's no way that's what you're paying that guy. And yet we're going to put that on shut up. Like, you know what? Go ahead. Hold the LAFCs, Inter Miamis. Make them pay. I agree with you. Tom Misney or whatever, the guy up in Cleveland. I'll make them pay.
Yeah.
Please do, Charlotte FC. And then fix your stupid field so all our players don't tear their ACLs every time we go there. All right. We'll see you next week, I guess. We're done. We're mad. We're done.
I have to poop my pants.
All right. Don't poop your pants. I'll see you later.